All right, I'm going to get started. I don't know if folks are still coming in or how this is working, but we'll go. Good morning. Yes. Whoop, whoop. David asked me to talk about redemptive branding, which in some ways can feel a little bit maybe like, can that be true? Can that be something that we can aspire to? This is a little bit of a different talk for me. I'm usually talking about the how and what of marketing, and this is a lot more about the purpose of marketing. So, I want to share with you what I believe is God's purpose for marketing and how marketing can really be a way that we see the new heaven and new earth coming in through our businesses. And so much of what David talked about this morning, so much of what Andrew just shared, branding touches upon everything that we do in our work. And that's what I'll be sharing today. So a little bit about me. I am a wife and mother of two girls. I call myself a recovering attorney, which is actually an interesting way of thinking about messaging as well. And I think it informs a lot of what I do. I owned a marketing agency, came into my family business and ran that for 8 years. And then I ended up selling that business alongside of my family to a private equity-backed technology company, a journey I never thought I would take, but God brought us there. And I started a CMO of that company. It's about a $125 million company. Came into that out of small business, so quite a different experience. And then over the last 3 years have risen to president of the company. I'm also a board member of Nashville Institute of Faith and Work, which has been very important to my journey. And then I'm a member over at Christ Pres, and this is my first time at this beautiful church, and so thank you for having me. So I want to start us off with a question, which is, what is the purpose of marketing? And I love the interaction that Andrew had, so I'm going to ask for interaction. What do you think the purpose of marketing is? I won't call on you, Josh, or maybe I will. You should know what the purpose of marketing is. Oh, I love that. To build an identity in a business case for a non-living thing. That's true. I think that's right. What? Make yourself known. Yes. But I think we also generally think of marketing as selling more, right? I know if you're a business owner or you're a business leader, if people have talked to you about marketing before, you're like, what's the ROI? How am I going to see that this works? Am I really going to get a return on all the dollars that I put into this? Or else, why am I doing it, really? And while brand is very important, and I hope to convince you of the importance of brand to our identity and to our identity in Christ as well, when it comes down to the dollars you're putting into it, a lot of us are thinking about selling more. And I think those two things can really go together. It can be, how are we demonstrating value to get that ROI? How are we creating value so that people receive what's important about our business? But it is that identity. And what I think brand is really all-encompassing in so many ways. It's speaking to who we are in the marketplace, but it's also who we are to our employees. As we were just hearing in the generation session, brand is very important to how your employees feel about working there. Gen Z and a lot of the younger generations are looking for the organization to tell them who they are and their purpose in this world. And brand is what does that, lived authentically. And we see the creation and demonstration of value in a lot of marketing terms. So I'm going to throw up a couple of them here. And we're not going to go into depth about what each of these is today, but thinking about an ideal customer profile, you're really thinking about how do people perceive value? We all perceive value differently. What is that unique value proposition that your business brings to the table? A lot of that is found in our brand and needs to be communicated through our brand. Positioning and differentiation are things that I think often people miss about marketing and branding. They think it's all about media spend or the best design, but instead, we need to think about how are we uniquely created to be positioned in the marketplace? What makes us different? Why does an employee or a customer want to come and interact with us? And what makes them choose to say, yes, that brand represents me instead of this other brand? And so thinking about brand, I love the point about identity. And I found this quote from Jeff Bezos, who says, a brand for a company is like a reputation for a person. You earn a reputation by trying to do hard things well. And it reminds me a lot of integrity from this morning. And to have a strong brand, you must have integrity. Otherwise, the market, our employees feel that disconnect. They feel, I don't really believe it. It's not authentic to me. And so, in a secular view from Jeff here, we hear that you earn it daily by proving out this is who we are and this is what we represent. And then I also wanted to look to what does God tell us about how we are made and that humanity is made in God's image. So the brand that we personally represent and the brand that we create in the world through our businesses and through our employment experiences, employment engagement, is ultimately a reflection of God's image. And so from Genesis, it starts with, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. God wants our brands and who we are to be reflective of him. And I also think it is a part of the cultural mandate to create value. If all we're doing is putting a lot of Google ads into a business to get more leads, ultimately, I think part of why that doesn't actually get us return on investment is because we must create value in order to have something perceived as important and worthy of our time, worthy of our resources. And so Ephesians tells us that for we are God's handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared us in advance to do. And so while brand and marketing can sometimes feel very disconnected from our cultural mandate, from good work, I want to bring to you today the idea that it should be very intimately connected and really created from a place of our identity in Christ. And so I want to share a little bit today with you about my story with this, just as an inspiration. And I think what's interesting about brand and marketing, I've met several of you here in different industries, different professions, is to see how God has worked in each of these areas and can continue to work in all of the stories that we tell. And I'm going to share my story, which in many ways, when people first hear about it, I think, what? How? And this is such an interesting profession. I am from the funeral profession. So I'm in this tech company that bought my marketing agency, and we've always been in the funeral profession. So the marketing agency that my parents founded 42 years ago is for funeral professionals. And we market mostly family-owned businesses, which is a real joy in and of itself. Can be a little crazy. If you're part of a family business, you know. But it is also, I think, in many ways, the most rewarding. And so when people hear about the funeral profession, I'm sure many of you think, oh, that's interesting. That's different. I was talking to some of them this morning. How do you market funeral professionals? I actually find it very easy because the funeral profession is something that touches each and every one of us. And I feel so called to the funeral profession because I think a lot of us, and especially in our busy world, I identify with the millennials. I am very tech equipped. I work in a technology company. I spend most of my days on Zoom. You can get very disconnected from your own mortality and from our own finiteness. And I really believe that the death experience, when it interacts with us, helps us to remind us of our purpose, remind us of what God has created us to be, the short opportunity that we have to live that. We waste our time less. We're more intentional with what we do. And so that is the mission that brought me into funeral service. to join my family business. And that company was called MKJ Marketing. We still operate today as part of the portfolio that acquired us. But when I came into MKJ as an owner, I was very lost, to be honest. This was a company that was founded by my parents. They are baby boomers. They were very much put your head down and work. And when I came into the company, it was struggling a little bit. I was a new mom. I'd moved to Nashville, new business owner. And I had in many ways made work my identity, which was easy to do, especially in a business that needed investment, needed turnaround, needed to hire new employees into this market. And it was very easy to fall into too much work and very little rest. And that was really where Nashville Institute of Faith and Work came into my story. So Nashville Institute of Faith and Work was founded out of Christ Pres. We had just started attending at Christ Pres, and it was a lifeline. I was looking online for something to help me as a new business owner, and I came across the Entrepreneur Support Group, which I know Tiffany from, and it was such an amazing group to support me in realizing what it felt like to be worried, are you going to make payroll, or how are you going to expand, how to have a really difficult conversation with a long-term employee that we ultimately needed to make a termination decision on. But it was more than that. It really taught me about stewardship and the idea of the business not actually being my own. That this was something that God had entrusted to me for a certain period of time to do the very best that I could with, but that it wasn't everything about who I was. And its success and its failures were also not defined by me. And when I was starting to think through how that looked inside of this company that had had a very good culture defined by my parents, I really wanted to think about how did we create a culture that honored the different things that we believed in the world, took from things that we were already doing, also created aspiration out of that. And it was actually through one of the Nashville Institute of Faith and Works events that I learned about creating core values and using that as a way to establish really an internal brand and an external brand. These were values that we lived internally and externally. And that through those values, I was an imperfect steward of what God had called me to be a co-creator with him in and be a part of that story. And so we set several core values. The one that mattered, the one that was at the center was that relationships mattered most. And we honored that through the way that we interacted with our customers and not always taking the letter of the contract or, you know, exactly what had been agreed with, but how do we create a win-win for all of us and honoring what they were trying to accomplish in their business as well as appropriate stewardship for our own. And then that relationships mattered most with our people. I know in the last session someone said people matter all or people always. And that's what I think is very important about a brand. If you tell the market that you have all of these excellence goals and, you know, so much pretty wording, right? How many times have we seen a business espouse core values that we know internally their employees don't feel? And that is absolutely critical to a brand, that every part of what you are saying you believe and you're trying to accomplish is felt and lived internally as well. So we made a big change at MKJ in terms of how we interacted with our employees and how we messaged that to people. And it became a really important way of how we talked, how we communicated internally, how we would give performance reviews, how we would call each other to something more when we were not meeting our core values. And that was a really transformational experience internally. It was funny. When I first started doing core values and I had a retreat for our staff, it was the first one we'd ever had in probably, I guess it was 35 years at that point. My dad fought me every step of the way. He thought it was crazy. And I think that baby boomers at first can be a little reticent to embrace some of these ideas because it is a put your head down and work kind of generation. And then midway through our first retreat, when we were announcing these core values and giving training, he said, this is the best thing we've ever done. And I'm so glad you told me I was wrong. So I was really grateful to see that change because I knew that it was absolutely important that we did this. Fast forward to Lumen cremation. After probably 5 or 6 years at MKJ, I had worked with a lot of our businesses in the direct cremation space. Does anybody know what direct cremation is? No one. Okay. So in funeral service, you can either have a burial or you can have a cremation. But there is a new concept of a cremation without a service. So just a cremation, and then you might do a service at a country club or maybe at a church and never have it at the funeral home itself. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, right? In many ways, providing more choice, having a do-it-yourself mentality can support the family's needs. But unfortunately, in our profession, because cremation kind of came about as an innovation, a lot of funeral homes rejected direct cremation, and they would say, we're not going to do that. And so direct cremation ended up being something at the fringes at first. It's grown a lot since then, but it became something that was very, I'll use the word disposal mentality of it's cheap, it's fast. Those are people that don't really want a service. They're people who, in fact, inside of the funeral profession, a lot of times funeral directors will say, those are people that didn't love their family member that choose a direct cremation. And so in our space, it became very much disposal oriented. And so there have been a lot of businesses that have started up in this space that are just, they call them turn and burn. How fast can we move through these people who we're taking care of? And that was not at all how I felt about the profession. And it was not at all how I felt about the dignity of every human being and every person that we are taking care of and wanting to use this moment, again, as that point of reflection in our lives. And so I felt really called for quite a few years, I didn't actually move on it, to create something that addressed the direct cremation space differently. And I had worked with a few firms in helping them develop their brands in their markets, and they, even though they were investing in direct cremation and they were wanting to create these different brands, they ultimately continued to still feel like, well, these families aren't the same as my families who choose me at the funeral service or at our funeral home. And so ultimately I took the plunge to create Lumen Cremation, which still exists here in Nashville. I sold it, about 2 years ago now. But I'm going to share a little bit about my story with Lumen. And throughout this, I want you to reflect on your own businesses and think about kind of the ideas that went into creating Lumen and how you might take these into your business. So we'll start with the logo, which you can see here. And our tagline was illuminating every life lived. And this was very core to our message, the concept of light, which I drew, of course, from the Bible, and how light in each of us is equalizing. So I'll share a little bit more about that. So we're going to start with, I'm going to go through three different areas of branding, and then I'll have a question for you at the end of each of these. We're kind of treating this as a case study. So the first is mission and message. How do mission and message inform your brand? So when I created Lumen, our mission was to be the light. That we are lighting the way through dark days following the death of a loved one. And the idea of Lumen was really about the light in each of us is important, that it is God-given, and that it is something that should be treated with that dignity. So that was throughout every experience, through our mission, through our messaging, it was really, really important to me and to our staff that people were treated as important, that the deceased were recognized as equal and not less important somehow because their family was spending thousands of dollars less on their service, but that they understood the experience, that they felt enlightened through it, and that they felt really treated and seen as that light within. A very important area for me in creating this mission and our messaging was education. If you've been through a funeral process, you know it's a very confusing time. Most people don't understand how to plan a funeral, what's important, what they shouldn't do. And so through market research that we've done, we've seen that the top concern for funeral planning is feeling unprepared, feeling like, I have no idea what I'm doing right now. I'm in a state of grief. Many times it's unexpected. And you're feeling like, I've got to make decisions and I got to do this right. It matters. So we really wanted to empower people with information and the choices that they have. And so our values that we created, kind of thinking about the core values that I had made at MKJ, I chose these values for Lumen. First of all, above all else, love people. When we're interacting with families who are going through grief, them feeling loved and not like a transaction or just getting this taken care of for you was really, really important. We were also using technology. So to have the efficiency, to be able to offer the lowest price cremation available, and that was another thing, was affordability was very important. Usually a funeral costs between $10,000 and $15,000. Our cost at Lumen was $9.95. And we wanted to use technology to create that efficiency, but also to support the process, to support the mission. And so one of the things that we did was really put high value on that phone conversation that would often happen when the death occurred. And through that conversation, a 10 or 15 minute conversation, our goal was for the person on the other end of the line to feel loved and to feel supported. But then we would use technology to provide resources, which I'll show you as well. And then our last value was shine your light in all circumstances. So in any way, wherever we were meeting someone at this most difficult time, how could we shine light into that experience? This was the message from one of our staff members that I think really encapsulates how we lived this message and how we lived our mission in every interaction. So I'll just read a few parts of this because I don't know, it might be a little hard to read. Families call looking for guidance. I view my role at Lumen as a light in the darkness during the difficult time. I hear what is important to families we work with, whether it's saying a special prayer over their loved one or letting them choose how they want to receive the remains. I do everything I can to make this process as seamless as possible. She talks about our cremation at a fair price. With technology, we can cut the time spent in planning a cremation from several hours to 10 to 15 minutes, and that's really where we recouped the cost differential. Families can log on to our website, answer a few questions, input their preferences, and pay with a credit card, and we handle everything from there. So our business was ultimately featured in both local news and national news. We had a feature on WSMV in Nashville, as well as we were in Forbes and the New York Times as doing things differently as a funeral provider. The idea of using technology in this way was pretty new for the funeral profession. And a lot of times people had questions about the process. What does it mean that it's online? How do I plan a cremation online? And so a lot of the times when they would call in, it was just a confirm we were a real business. Is this real? And how can I use you? And we ultimately served families all over not only Nashville, but actually several hours away. So it was important that they could read about who we were and what we really believed in. So they felt like they had that trust in us, developing the brand through not only our website, but also these different placements that we had in the press was really important to developing that trust and that brand. So my first question for you is, how do you share your mission in your marketing? Do you? Are you maybe like my dad at first, who thought there's no connection between our mission and the services that we provide or the way that we're perceived? Or do you intentionally tell something about what your mission is and how you live that through the work that you do? I'd love if anybody has a way that they share their mission and their marketing to share it. I'm like Andrew, I can wait as well. Aaron. Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And but it also functions externally to the customers, I'm sure, because the people that you employ are so important to the finished product, right? Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. We choose to align ourselves with people, with other organizations, because we believe in them, ultimately. And I think they really tell us something about who we are as we learn about who they are. Another area, the second area, is visuals and design. I think this is the area we think a lot about with branding. I was talking to a client the other day who proudly showed me his poster board. He said, $75,000 for this branding poster board. He was a little upset about it. Sometimes it can feel like branding, why does it cost so much? Or why is it really that important? Especially if we're more numbers oriented. But visuals and design are really a great opportunity to live your brand and communicate something important about how you want people to feel. Design, video, photography, moves in us something emotionally. I think God created us that way, to react to beauty, to feel something when we see something. And so I'm going to show you a couple examples of other types of direct cremation websites, and then I'll show you what I decided to do with mine. So the first is a company called Solace, which was actually founded by a couple former Nike executives up in the Pacific Northwest. And I tracked them as another type of company that, you know, watching them grow and things that they were choosing to do. And this is a nice site. I don't know that it makes me feel a lot. It looks serene and calm. And I think this is an approach that many funeral homes take. Now, as president of Tribute Technology, we make funeral home websites and management software, and then do marketing for funeral homes. And we work with over 9,000 funeral homes in North America. And many of them would look just like this. It would have kind of a scenic view, sort of generalized. So I don't know that it makes you feel anything about this company. And that may be the case for you. If you go to your website, does it really make people know who you are? What makes you different? Or are you trying to appeal to everybody? And to me, that's what this site does. It makes me feel like, well, I don't really know much about who you are. You can see up there, it talks about modern and simple cremation services. I'm not sure what modern means. I guess technology oriented. But and then they have their price, which is fine. In a business like this, it's important that we have the price clearly. But I would challenge you to think about, when you pull up your website, does it really communicate something about your brand? A great tip I often give to businesses is to have a few people who maybe don't know your business, sit down with them and have them go through your website with you and ask them what it makes them feel. And ask them, what do they take away? I can tell you from looking at a lot of websites for clients, most of the time people have no idea what it is that you do. And they can't understand clearly from the words as well as the design why they should work with you. And the brand should be that way. It should be the way that you communicate what we do, why we do it, and how you work with us next. This is another example of a company out of Canada. And, you know, it's interesting. It's different. You can see the line drawing and kind of the almost like cartoon experience. This is very popular. I can't tell you how many business owners have asked me for one of those animation explainer videos. You might have one on your website. I personally don't love those, although they can be very effective at taking a complicated message and making it simple. But in our space, to me, this really doesn't give the significance of death and the importance that it plays in our lives. It just removes, again, the connection to our own bodies and mortality and the experience and relationships that come into play in death. So I would say this is better from a standpoint of I know who they are, I know something about them. But to me then, I was thinking about that positioning and differentiation. How do I juxtapose? If somebody sees this, what do I want them to feel about us that's different? So then this was my website. It's since been changed, so if you go to it, you'll see some different things. But at the top, you can see the video of the family that was waving. And they were dressed pretty casually. A lot of times with funerals, we think suits, black tie, you know, black clothing. And in direct cremation, and especially in making things affordable, often families feel very intimidated by, well, I don't have the clothes like that to wear, so I guess that's not for me. So I wanted families to feel we were approachable, that this was for everyone. This is going a little through our online planning process that you can see there, but I wanted things to feel very simple and easy. We chose green, which color choice is a whole other area that you can go into. What do the colors make you feel? There's a psychology behind colors, and you want to check that. Does it align with my brand? For instance, colors like orange and red have very strong emotional reactions to them. Very often businesses choose blue for their colors. And that can mean, well, then how are you different from a lot of the other businesses that might be in your space? So thinking about color, thinking about simplicity of design, more modern design or traditional design, all of that really speaks to the process and speaks to the services and the business that you are. So how do your marketing visuals help people feel something, and how does it make them feel valued? And when you think about the visuals especially, and all of this, when we think about differentiation and positioning, which plays into everything here, you are thinking about who to attract as well as who to repel. So we actually want some people to say, that brand is not for me. Because that's the only way that some people will say, that brand is for me. And again, that goes back to your core values and your brand and who you are and who you want to work with. If you have a lot of people in your business that are clients that are very, very difficult, clients that are making your life miserable, you might choose to make core values and visuals that repel those folks in some ways. And I think you would be amazed at how much efficiency you gain through that process. For us at Lumen, we were looking to really attract people who wanted a simple process, wanted something that was digital, wanted something that allowed them to have great service, but it was not going to be a two-hour arrangement with multiple services offered like a traditional funeral home would. So many people think that direct cremation, at least in the funeral profession, people think, well, the only people that choose direct cremation are people who don't have any money, or they didn't love they didn't have a relationship with their loved one. And what we found at Lumen was actually we took care of country music stars. We took care of people who, you know, were in Belle Meade or in some of the nicer areas of Nashville. We also took care of people who had no access to the internet. We took care of people who were homeless. And many, many drug overdoses, very, very sad situations. We took care of babies. And people who were looking for exactly what we had. And while it was all of those different types of needs, personas, people that were drawn to us, we never had anything less than a 5-star Google review. And people were really touched by that experience. Even through what we actually were able to measure, generally a 2.5-minute phone call was all it took to establish that relationship. And then the rest of it was online. So you can interact with people and make them feel valued through technology, through automated emails, through automated text messages, just with the tone and visuals and the experience that you create. I'm going to keep moving, since I only have a few minutes left, into our third area, which is communicating your products and services. So this is the meat, right, of our operations and how people know what we do, how we can get them a quote, how they can check out or, you know, engage with us. And your brand should be lived through this as well. So I'm going to show first, and don't feel like you have to read this because I'm sure it's very tiny up there. This is the kind of thing that would be on other direct cremation websites. So I told you, funeral planning is very confusing to people. They have no idea what many of the terms are. They already feel overwhelmed. When we're in grief or we're in stress, we don't read carefully. And so this is what would greet you on a website that you're trying to check out online, you know, and keep in mind a lot of funeral homes, they actually don't want a phone number for this kind of direct cremation provider. They say, I don't want them to call me. They're not paying me enough. From the beginning, we wanted people to call us, and that was important. But we also wanted the website to be able to answer questions. So this was, and this is still up. I just took the screenshot recently. What do they do as part of their services? They obtain cremation permits from the county medical examiner, and we'll notify you once we receive it. Some counties require we bring your loved one to their office for this viewing, but then we're going to charge you extra money for that. Transfer is additional, washing and care. People don't really know what that means. A minimum alternative container is required per Wisconsin state statute. All of this sounds very confusing. You're probably like, I have no idea what any of this means. And so we wanted to simplify that and make it something that when people read through it without the help of our staff, they knew what they were getting. And so this was our cremation package for $9.95. Very clear, clean design with the bullets. We tried to use as few words as possible. We didn't try to include different statutes or things like that as part of it. We would talk about, in a cremation, you do have to include a container, and you saw how it was described there before. We were describing it as a temporary plastic urn there for people to understand. So how do you make your services accessible? I'm sure many of you are in fields of cybersecurity or insurance or, you know, things that are not part of what we deal with every day. Construction. It can be any type of industry that is very confusing to people who don't work in it every day. And so taking a look through your website or your marketing materials to understand, how am I making people feel empowered from this? How am I making their time feel valued, them in terms of their desires? Why did they come to work with you? How do they feel after they read those services? Do they feel confused? Do they feel nickel and dimed? Or do they feel empowered and supported in the decision that they're making? Very often, at least with e-commerce, we think about customer friction. How do we eliminate the friction in the buying process to make it as easy and intuitive as possible? And whether you're an e-commerce business or completely brick and mortar, all of this applies in our communication. So The number one area that people get confused with is internal language or jargon. Eliminate all of that because it's so confusing and off-putting. We're immediately saying you're an outsider instead of somebody that we value. What is familiar and second nature for us can often be strange. We need to step back and see where we are creating friction in the process. When I would work with customers or funeral homes who were making an e-commerce site, they would say, well, we need to charge them extra per day for refrigeration. And no one knew how long, you know, something like that would take. Sometimes the service or their extenuating circumstances with a death certificate. So the funeral homes were wanting to ask people a question that they were not able to answer. And I guarantee you there are places in your business where you're asking people questions they don't know how to answer. And that's a great opportunity to come in and walk beside them and give them information that makes them feel partnered with instead of, I don't know what that is. In a digital world specifically, we're looking to automate what we would walk people through in real life. So a lot of times, especially if you are in a business that is less digitally inclined, people look at their website or emails or interactions as almost like a brochure. We're just going to put it up there and it's not going to interact with people. It's just going to be the stagnant piece. And instead, I encourage you to look at all of your branding, especially digitally, as an iterative process, something that should change over time. And more and more and more, you want to look for those opportunities for it to be just like sitting down with someone and talking to them and explaining them to them everything that they should know. We talk a lot about how the website is your front door and how are you engaging with people when they come to that website. On average, people bounce from a website that they land on within less than 8 seconds. So you have to grab their attention. And that's where the visuals come in. That's where the brand and how it stands out comes in. But then it also is all of the ways that you explain what you do. So one of the ways that we really wanted to live our brand at Lumen was through free resources and helping people feel like they didn't necessarily have to choose us as a provider to be supported by us and to be just walk away more empowered in their funeral journey, knowing something and leaving with something. And so we gave a lot of education around next of kin, which is the person who makes funeral decisions. We helped them to get prepared if they anticipated a death was happening. We provided a free checklist of things to think about, an estate planning checklist, how to work with hospice. We provided for free a legal document called an advanced directive so that they could use that and get their plans in place. And this was one of our biggest lead generators, actually. We knew it might have that effect, but it was most important. We just wanted people to have something if they came to our site at whatever place they were in the journey. But it ended up being that as soon as they interacted with this, they chose us to provide to them. So this is the whole idea. If you're familiar with digital marketing, things like HubSpot and the white papers and guides, that is the concept of giving some value for free and then retaining them as a result. But I encourage you to look at this as well as a way of living out your faith. How can you give some of your expertise as a brand or as an employee to the community just for free? So not thinking about it just as, hey, how can I get more leads? But instead, what is a way that I can leave this world a little better through my sphere of influence to help people? And so that's what we did. Thankfully, these free resources are still up on the website and being provided to the community as well. So that's lasted for several years after we sold the business. And then this is just to show really what God did, because I am amazed at how quickly we grew. In under 2 years, we ended up serving over 300 families through this business and before we ultimately transitioned it. And so how do your products and services express your purpose? how does someone read what you do on a price list or in a contract and really walk away with saying, yeah, that actually makes sense to me. This is who I engaged with. This is what I thought when I came to this website or when I interacted with someone from your business. So I'm going to leave us with a few parting thoughts, and then I'm happy to take questions if anyone has anything. I did name it Parting Thoughts because I just talked to you about funeral service for the last hour. Your brand is an extension of the good work that God has given you, and I truly believe this. And look at messaging and marketing as a way to tell your unique story. I think too often people are intimidated by marketing, especially business owners who are heads down in the business just trying to deal with all the fires that come up every day. And sometimes they work with an agency or someone internally who kind of tells them, well, this is what you got to do to grow. I really encourage you to take control of the message and the story that you're telling and own that. As a business owner, or even an employee, embrace the brand and the message as your own and use it to tell the unique story that God has brought you into this business to tell. And the last point I would say is an authentic brand will resonate with your intended audience, and it does create a vision for themselves and for the world, and that includes your employees so much. I have seen the impact that a great brand lived authentically has on employees, the connection and the engagement that they have to a business. There's really nothing like it when you create that. Culture is not ping pong tables and free snacks. It is connection to the brand that you have created. And I've also experienced in private equity the experience of not having that brand and not having that culture and making decisions that are not always in alignment with the values that we have. So I encourage you to really live it and to take that on as something that is core to leadership and participation in business. So I thank you for your time, and I'm happy to take any questions, and I would also encourage you to keep in touch. I would love to continue to get to know all of you. Any questions? Yeah? What? We have we have 2 minutes. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, so good. How do you get your employees to buy into it, not just think about profit or making more money? Well, first of all, it has to be real. A lot of times people put up, like I said, just words because they think, well, we have to have a value list. I'd rather not have a value list than one that's not real. You know, you really have to live it. And living it to me means talking about it daily, actually honoring those principles and how you engage with people. We would reference it in tough situations. I mean, your values come into contact with reality, and then you got to really live it. And so if I'm saying relationships matter most, I have to do that, not take shortcuts in an agreement with a client or with an employee. And, you know, each of those ways is, I think that's how employees really start to see, do they mean it or not? And I think while relationships were part of our core values, ultimately relationships are when we feel a brand. Our interaction with the brand as a consumer, do they really live this throughout the process? And especially as an employee, do I feel important here, and do I feel like we're accomplishing something? And no matter what kind of business you have, pointing people back to the purpose that's different about your business is what I think inspires people. And especially younger generations, they really do want to feel like their work is meaningful, and all work is meaningful. We know that. So we just have to bring it back to that instead of always pointing to revenue and profit. Another thing that I think, and David said this well, that profit is important and we shouldn't shy away from that. It's how we have a business. as part of stewardship, I always thought a lot about how are we investing money wisely, including into our employees, and how are we maintaining a strong business so that they have a job? Like, making payroll was the most important thing to us as a small business. And that's another way that I think you live your brand, is delivering and making the tough choices. Sometimes we wouldn't take a pay, we wouldn't pay ourselves for a few months if it meant keeping the employees paid. All right, I think I'm over time. Thank you all for your attention, and really loved getting to talk with you all today and meet you. So thank you.